18 is coming along. Let me give you an update. January, we spent a month in prayer, or 3 weeks in prayer, asking God to give us direction. He did. He gave us three areas to work on in our church: family connections, youth connections, and community connections. Connecting with people in those three areas. And then for the month of February, we had prayer and people who said, I want to belong to one or more of these teams. And so the signups are now done. I want you to know there's, about 30 people who've signed up for these three teams. Yeah. And so now for March, April, the teams are going to be meeting. We're going to meet next Sunday right after ABF. And we're going to start praying, planning, and launching what God gives us for ideas to do. I know some of you have already got great ideas going in your brain. You're thinking about it. That's exciting stuff. And so we're going to be working on either new ministries we're going to be doing or improving things that we already have here, and we're working on those. So I'm excited about this. And God bless you for your commitment and your dealing with one of these three areas, these ministries that are just beginning to blossom. That's great. One last thing, Cove Christian Camp Men's Retreat, April 2021. Men, 18 years old and older. Cove Christian Camp Men's Retreat, April 2021. $75 by April 6th and $100 thereafter. So start saving your pennies. And let's all go together to the Cove Camp Men's Retreat. Elgin Christian Church men are leading it this year. And it's a great time. It's an overnighter. It's a lot of fun. Always enjoy it. Let's begin with the last of our series in Fix Your Focus, Part 3. Take your sermon outline out of your bulletin. 2 weeks ago, we had an assignment to write an I Know I Should, things I know I should be working on in my life, an I Know I Should list. Things you know you need to work on in your life, and then choose one of them to work on this year. Choose one of them to work on this year. Could be improving a part of your Christ-like character. Maybe it's learning a new skill that you need to work on. Did you start your list? I have 9 things on my list, and so I assume I'm going to have about 9 years of work to be improving myself in those areas. I encourage you to do this so that each I Know I Should becomes I'm glad I did instead of I wish I had. Some examples of Christ-like character traits you may need to work on are included in your bulletin. Look on the back side of your bulletin. You'll see 5 or 6 areas that you could choose to work on if you say, yes, I need to work on one of those. So that's there for you. Be thinking about this. We're going to be just touching on this throughout the year. I Know I Should list. Let's briefly recap this sermon series called Fix Your Focus. We know there aren't many things we can control in life, but maybe you try. Townsend and Cloud, in their book Boundaries, says that the only things you really can control in life are things that are inside your skin. And that's about all you really do have control of in life, I think. I mean, we try to control other things, don't we? And sometimes it creates more problems than we had before. But we can control. The one thing we can control is where we choose to fix our focus in life, in our minds and our hearts. This series is designed to fix our focus. And Matthew 6, 31 through Matthew 7, verse 8 is our text for this series. We're going to get to that in a little bit. Let's just recap. Part one, do not worry. Your Father knows what you need. He's got you. He knows what you need. We've said in the past that worry is kind of like saying, God, I'm not sure you got this one. I'll take care of it. And that's, again, we try to go into control. Worry shows that we are choosing to trust self instead of God. Answer these questions out loud with me. Okay, ready? Here we are. Number one, does God know your situation? Is it too hard for him to handle? Does he have a plan that will benefit you as it strengthens your faith? Yes. Did following God's plan in difficult times in your life help your faith mature? Yes. And the last question, has he been faithful to supply your needs according to his timing so far in your life? That's why you trust him today. You trust him. You've learned over time. And we can all say, wow, I trusted God. He came through. I know the next time I have a need, it will be much easier for me to trust him there, right? Sounds good. It can be just as hard the next time. But our faith is growing. When you seek God's values first, and that's the focus of this passage, seeking God's values first, you will discover the truth that God does care about you and that he knows how to provide for you. He really does know. In part two weeks ago, we focused on, are you living in today or wishing for tomorrow? And we can focus on tomorrow at the expense of today. The only way to tomorrow is through today. God is present in your today. He's here in your today. Stay here with him and discover what he can do in you and through you today. Today's the key word. Today's lessons and blessings help you prepare for tomorrow's lessons and blessings. Sometimes we like to vacation in tomorrow in our heads. Tomorrow's going to be better. And we miss what God has for us today. For example, if you are single, are you fixed on finding the right person or on becoming the right person? If you're trying to find the right person instead of becoming the right person, what do you think you're going to do to that poor right person who comes along? Yeah, I'm going to have demands and I'm going to have dislikes. I'm going to have, you need to change this and that. Let's get to today, part three. Jesus takes what appears to be a hard right turn in this scripture passage from finding comfort in God being your provider, Matthew 6, to now challenging us to not judge others in Matthew 7. So let's read our passage today. Matthew 7, verses 1 through 8. Matthew 7, 1 through 8. Do not judge, or you too will be judged, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. The Greek word for hypocrite, hypokrites, is where we get our word actor. It actually translates to the word actor. I'm pretending to be somebody I'm not. That's what a hypocrite is. Pretending to be somebody you're not. Verse 5. You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. If I can say any words of advice to young ladies especially, but young men here too, if you're single, you're here today. When I was in youth group down in Cottage Grove, I saw a lot of times girls especially would bring non-Christian boys to church. Not a bad thing. But they were hoping that by bringing boys to church, that the boys would become Christians and that they could then have a great equal relationship with each other. Guess what happened most times? The girls stopped coming. Let's call it missionary dating. You know, I'm out there bringing somebody to church, hopefully, and end up, the values of the other person pulls me away from Jesus. Do not throw your pearls, that's salvation God gave you, under the feet of people who will not value them, who will not value who you are in Christ. Verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Notice the bookends in Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God. And then Matthew 7, verse 8, seek first the kingdom of God. In between that is trust God, he's your provider, and don't judge others. And so God is, because those two things are some of the strongest things that pull us away from God. Not trusting him to provide and judging other people. So let's take a look. Today's question is this. Today's question is this. Is your focus on what is not or on what you got? When you're feeling less than or thinking you are incomplete somehow, one way to make yourself feel better is to find fault in other people. Well, at least I don't do that. I would have never said those kinds of things. Satan will tempt you to take a shortcut to feeling better. Okay? We use a lot of things to self-medicate pain. And not just physical things like drugs or sex or money or whatever. We can also use judging others. He will tempt you to take a shortcut to feeling better about yourself by putting your focus on other people's shortcomings. How do you know when you're taking Satan's shortcut? Good question. Glad you asked. It sounds like this. Well, at least I don't do what he does. If you're saying something like that, you're on a shortcut to try to feel better. Or you say something like, I'm not perfect, but I would have never said what she said. Sometimes we justify our own poor behavior by saying, well, I'm only human. You ever said that? Everybody raise your hand. We've all done it. Raise your hand. Well, I'm only human. You know, I've been thinking about that phrase. It's like we're saying to God that the best we imperfect humans can achieve is mediocrity. I'm only human. It's the best you're going to ever get out of me, God. Because I'm only human. Did we forget that God created us? Did we forget that? And what did God say in Genesis chapter 1 when he created man? He said, it is good. And then he looked at everything he created and he put a modifier on. He said, it's very good. Let's not call bad or mediocre what God has created. So these Bible verses about relationships are about relationships. And there's two tools that every one of us has in our relationship toolbox. The first one is this, a magnifying glass. That's our first tool. And the purpose of the magnifying glass is to focus on others. Now, the caution about this tool is that you can magnify anything you want to see. Anything you want to see. It's a great tool. But when you're looking at a tiny speck in someone's eye, you have to do what? To see it. You have to get close to see it, you know? So he come right on. He goes, oh, wow. Oh, there's a speck.
It's a log.
No, the log's in my eye. There's a speck. We have to get close. You know, and close is hard for us to do because closeness is like intimacy, which you and I say is like into me, you see. And that makes us uncomfortable. What if you see things I don't want you to see? What if you see something that makes me uncomfortable? What if you see what I don't like about me? Have you ever met someone that you've been admiring from a distance? And he just, oh man, oh wow, look at all that good stuff. I love this person. It's just great. I love this person. It's easy to magnify what you want them to be for you. I want you to be my hero. I want you to be the person who blesses me. I want you to be someone who lifts me up, because I have a hard time believing that about myself. So I need you to do that for me. And we start looking for it. We start looking for it. Great tool for looking for good things. Then later on, we figure out that person isn't perfect, and we start seeing things that we don't like. And once we start seeing things we don't like, we start looking for more of them. Because when I see something I don't like, now, I don't like, I mean, I didn't say that right. Mark is a great guy. I love him. He's my bro. Illustration purposes only. When I start seeing things I don't like, I start looking for more. Because I'm saying, what if there's something else I need to protect myself from? I better look for deeper things. And I start looking, and here's the issue, you guys. What you look for, you get more of. What you look for, you get more of. What you magnify, you get more of. What do you magnify? Great tool when you're looking for good things. Let's use this tool in Scripture. Build one another up. Okay, let me give you a great verse. Oh, this is a great verse. You're going to like this verse. It's an awesome one. Ephesians chapter 4:5. Ephesians 4:29 says this, towards the end of that chapter. I need to use this. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. If we use this for my needs, here's what I need out of you. Here's what I got to have. We miss building each other up. But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Building each other's up. This is great. Great tool. But what you magnify, you get more of. You decide in every day what you're going to make bigger about someone in your life. What are you going to make bigger about someone in your life, good or bad? One time I was doing a brake job on both of our cars, and I'm thankful that I've had mechanic training in my history, and so I can still do brake jobs at least on my cars. And so one day I was changing brakes on both cars, and it was a hot day, and I was tired. And I had a sermon to finish, and I had people to call, and so I was kind of feeling like I'm not being a very good pastor, and I hadn't been home very much for the family that week, and I'm going, I'm not a very good husband and father. And so I'm kind of feeling bad about myself, just, you know, I'm not killing myself, but I'm going, oh, man, this is, I'm out here doing the brakes. And then got done and went in the house, and Kayla said, I'm so glad you can do this. And I said, honey, what about this changing brakes makes you glad? And she said this, it makes me feel like you're taking care of me. That comment took me out of my not very good and put me into a great place. One comment. It took 2 seconds to say it. And it pulled me out of what I'm not and put me back into what I've got. Do you need to do that today? The second tool for creating healthy relationships is this one. Anybody know what that is? Yeah. This one's just a regular mirror, but that one, okay, it's called a concave mirror, and it makes you, whoo! You can see up close and personal with this one. And this is a great tool. This is not a tool you use for someone else. It's for you to find the log in your own eye. The cure for feeling better about yourself is not to look for a worse in somebody else, but to take an honest look into your own heart, your own self, an honest look. I sometimes struggle to be honest with me. Do you? Oh, I'm not too bad. Oh. 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 And I can get, over time, be honest with myself about logs I might have in my own eye. Christian, God is not condemning you. When we talk about looking at self, it's not, oh, that's awful. I hate that about me. No, 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 no. That's not what this is. Taking an honest look at yourself is where you get to say, from a sanctification point of view, a growing up in Christ-likeness, that's what sanctification means. I'm growing up here. I've got some things I need to change about me. And I can see them right here. This is what I need. And so it's great to have that tool. And I can look at it. A condemning voice, if you look into that mirror and you say, yuck, that's not God's voice. You know why? Romans 8:1 says this, therefore now, those who are in Christ Jesus, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now. Now. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Christian, don't you go there. Yuck! Bad! That's not you. It's not God's name for you. Don't you give your name that, yourself that name. And so we need to fix our focus on what he fixes his focus on. The good in you that he created. Remember Genesis chapter 1? He created you and then said it was good. You are good. Okay, and this isn't a self-help, build yourself up, mamby-pamby. This is you accepting, going into agreement with God about who he is. Yeah. There's power in agreement. Satan tried to get in between you and God. When you agree with God, that's pretty tough to do for him. But if you agree with Satan, he's got you. He's got you right now. He's got you. You ever tried to argue with someone who thinks you're bad and change their mind? It just doesn't work. Satan is that person. So I need a volunteer to come up here. Don't have to say anything. How about Mr. Paul? I know you'd come up here and look.
I'm gonna break you.
I'm upside down. You're upside down? When we do relationship, first, take the log out of your own eye. When we do this with each other, oh, I got some things I need to fix about me. And then I look at you and I say, look at all the good that God has put into you, brother. Wow. Now, Paul, he gets to choose what he's going to do with that. What do you typically do with the good others say about you? Yeah? Oh, that's kind of scary. Remember that into me you see kind of thing? So let's look at each other and look at self first and make a I know I should list. I know I should work on that. Okay? An attitude, a behavior, a judgment, whatever it be, I need to work on that and write that down. And I'm going to spend this next year, not 30 days, this next year, letting that go deep into my faith DNA. Because that's what it's going to take for me to change and make the change stick. Okay? Because, you know what they say, 21 days makes a habit? Baloney. Not for me. It doesn't. Okay? So Paul looks at himself, I look at myself, then we start using the magnifying glass to say, wow, look at the good there. And after I do that, then I can say, oh, Paul, there's a speck there, and just want to bring your attention to it. That's all. God will deal with that with you now. I'm done with my part telling you that. So this is what we're doing. This is what this passage is about. Fix your focus first on yourself and then on the blessings of others. Amen? God is good. Thank you, Paul. Where's your focus today? On yourself? On others? There's no worse plan for becoming a better you than to place that responsibility on some other person and say, you have to be this in order for me to become this. That's not that other person's job. That's your Father's job to work with you and to help you work through that. In the series of messages, God's been saying, give me back my job. I not only know what you need. See, this is the difference between God and people. God says, I have what you need. I have what you need. Fix your focus on me. Why is God encouraging to fix his focus on him? Because a healthy church begins with a healthier you and a healthier me. A better you is God's plan for you. Let me close with these scriptures. Just two short scriptures. This is Philippians 1:6 and 2:13. I'm going to read them together as one sentence. Here they are. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Brothers and sisters, look first at self. Make your I know I should list and start working on it. And then the blessings. Look at others and say, wow, you got some really great things. Oh, there's a speck there. But I can say that to you now because I first looked at the log in my own eye. I'm working on that. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this time together. Ask your blessing on it. Lord, teach us deeply. Let us be people who are honest with self. Let us have the courage to look at self and say, this is stuff I need to work on. This is what I know I should. And so, Father, this year, 2018, Vision 18, it's not just a vision for ACC, it's a vision for each one of us as individuals. Help us to focus on your work in our lives this year. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Worship team.